Bobby Richardson joins us on Sports Byline USA, second baseman who played his entire 12-year career in the major leagues with the New York Yankees between 1955 and 66, and he was known as a superb defensive infielder as well as a clutch hitter, and he is the only World Series MVP ever to be selected from the losing team. Bobby, I know you've written this book, Impact Player, a Memoir, and I was struck by something I read in the very beginning. What your dad said when you were born in 1935.
Well, Ron, he sure did. My dad was in the tombstone business. Marble and granite, had to work all his life, loved baseball. Didn't have a chance to play, but wanted to give me all the opportunities. And so he did say, one of these days you'll be in the major leagues. And I think he really felt that at that time and afforded me all the opportunities, and it worked out so good.
What was his love for the game?
Well, number one, people have told me that he was a good player. And he did play on the semi-pro leagues in the area when he was off work in the evenings and on Saturdays and so forth. And I think his love for the game was just a natural love. He followed the St. Louis Cardinals. That was the only team we could get on radio back in those early days. And he was a Cardinal fan. And listened intently and just loved the game so much he wanted me to be a part of it.
Did he instill in you, Bobby, any particular standard for playing the game?
You know, I don't think he did. He was a person that came to all of my games when he was off work, sit in the left field bleachers, never say a word. After the game, the only thing he'd ever say is, well, you played a good game today. He wouldn't try to instruct me, wouldn't try to over-encourage me, certainly not criticize me in any way. And I think that was wonderful for me. And about that time, I had a mentor who was 7 years older who did the other things. He taught me the game of baseball. He hit the ground balls my way for pepper. And he taught me the intricacies of baseball that I think made me a better player.
One of the things I know that you lamented, and you talked about it in the book, was the fact that you played more than 1,400 games, but your dad only had a chance to see you play one game, and that was a World Series game. Tell me about that.
Well, number one, he had emphysema, and there was a lot of dust in the tombstone business, a lot of sandblasting and so forth, and so the emphysema was such that he couldn't travel. And the one time, I actually saw two games. One was an exhibition game the Yankees were playing in Savannah, Georgia, and he and my uncle and several of them came over, and I didn't start the game. I finally got in the eighth inning. I hit a triple. I was so excited. I couldn't wait. I looked up at the stands to make sure he was there, and the third baseman for the Phillies at that time was Pudd'nhead Jones, and he said, "You're from South Carolina." I said, "I am." He said, "I am too. Move your foot and let me get the dust off that bag." I moved my foot, and he tagged me out with the hitting ball trick. The umpire was from South Carolina. I said, "I can't believe you did that. He's safe. I will not call him out." I learned a lot. I learned that never happened to me again. But then the other game that you talked about was the World Series against the Milwaukee Braves. And that particular game, Stengel came up to me and said, "McDougal doesn't want to play third base today. He wants to play second. You play third base." And so I played third base. Didn't touch the ball the whole game, not a ground ball pop-up or anything, and I went 0-for-5 against Warren Spahn. So that was the one game he saw.
You grew up in South Carolina, and tell me about the early days of Bobby Richardson as a young youth player.
Well, I did play no organized youth league. It was called the Knee Pants League, just a local team, no little league at that time, but the Civic Club sponsored a team, and Harry Stokes, my mentor, was my coach. And I just love that. And I played, and I was a pretty good ball player. Started out as a catcher, went to shortstop, pitched occasionally like that, and just progressed. And then when I was 14, I thought, man, I'm going out for the high school baseball team as a freshman. I did go out, but I lasted 3 days. I was cut after 3 days. And I did go out for the American Legion team, not so much discouraged that I didn't go out for that, made that team. We won the state championship, the regional championship, and we were playing in Charlotte, North Carolina, against Richmond, Virginia. And the team was taken out to see a film before that last game, and it was Pride of the Yankees, the story of Lou Gehrig. And Gary Cooper played the part in the film. Babe Ruth played his own part in the film. Bill Dickey was in there. And I thought, man, what a great organization. I'd like to be a part of that. And then it just so happened the next year, the New York Yankees had a farm club that had spring training in my hometown, Sumter, South Carolina. Mayo Smith was the manager, and he came out and watched me play high school. I made the team that year as a sophomore, and came over to me after the game and said, "When you graduate from high school, I'll see to it, you have a chance to play with the Yankees." They kept in touch. The Yankees sent me literature about Phil Rizzuto, the infielder, and at that time there was no draft in baseball, and there were 8 teams in the American League, 8 in the National League, and out of the 16, 12 of them offered me exactly the same thing. There was a rule that if you got over $4,000, you had to go up and spend 2 years on the parent roster. That's a waste of time. And so my offer was the same from all 12. 12 offered me $4,000, and that would include my salary after I signed for the rest of the year and the rest in bonus. So I signed with the Yankees. The Dodgers tried to get me to come. They signed Junior Gilliam after I said no and signed with the Yankees. But my love for the Yankees at that time was so great, that's who I wanted to play for.
When you looked at that movie, The Pride of the Yankees, and you saw the players and you saw the organization, is there anything that stuck in your mind about what you saw?
Well, I saw the stats that told me how often they won. And I remembered that about that time the Yankees had played the Phillies in the World Series of 1950. Joe DiMaggio was playing at that time, and so I knew enough about them to know that they were an elite team and probably at that time the best team in baseball.
Were you a guy that had a chance to ever go to New York before you finally came up with the Yankees?
Oh, goodness, no.
Yeah.
And when I signed that first day, I'd really never been out of South Carolina other than that one game to Charlotte, which is right on the line in South Carolina. And I had a friend that owned the Coca-Cola Bottling Corporation in Sumter, and he had a private plane, and he'd arranged for me to fly to New York, work out with the Yankees for 4 days. And I said to him, I've never been on a plane. Can we go any other way? And he laughed, and we took the train from Sumter to Florence to New York. And I did work out with the Yankees for 4 days. They were playing the St. Louis Browns at that time, and I put on a uniform, was told to go out and take some ground balls with the regulars, get in the batting cage and take 5 swings, and I did field the ground balls. Frank Crisetti hit them to me, and I stood around the batting cage, but I wasn't about to step in front of Phil Rizzuto or Billy Martin or Hank Bauer. And Mickey Mantle came up to me and put his arm around me and said, "Come on, kid, step in here and take some swings." And that started a friendship that lasted a lifetime, a dozen years in New York as a teammate. They won 9 out of the first 10 years that I played. Mantle and I had a little place together in Boone, North Carolina. Came down to the university when I was coaching at South Carolina. We just had a wonderful friendship. And a lot of the book, Impact Players, written about Mickey Mantle and my relationship with him.
I know Catfish Hunter, who I got to know pretty well. I remember him telling me a story. He had never been to New York before. He finally got moved to New York, signed on with them. And he said the first time he went to New York, he went into the locker room and he said, said to some of his teammates, he said, "I saw these people going down in a hole and they never came up." And he didn't understand why it was. And, of course, they were going to the subway. How about for you? What was it like for a kid coming from South Carolina going to the Big Apple?
Well, I remember taking that cab from the hotel out to the stadium, and I'd never seen so many people, so many tall buildings in my life. The population of my hometown was about 10,000, 60-some thousand in the game that night, and I thought, man, I hope I don't ever have to play here and get involved in this traffic. I don't remember getting on the subway, but I do remember that I caught a cab back, and then after 4 days of working out, I was sent down to work my way back up through the farm system. 2 years in the minor leagues, I played at Binghamton, New York, Denver, Colorado, and Gil McDougall was hit by a line drive, and I was called up in August of 1955. So I was back in New York, this time as a player. And I played about 15 games or so before McDougall got all right, and they sent me back down. But that was just a wonderful 2 weeks. I enjoyed it. They traveled by train in those days. It was 2 Pullmans and a dining car, wonderful food. You had to wear a sport coat and a tie to eat in the diner, 50-cent tip. I was making $5,000. That was minimum salary, and my son equated it to about $35 a game. So, but it was a wonderful career, and I couldn't wait to go back down and get some more innings in and then come back to New York. And I did, and 57 was my first full year.
What was it that kept you grounded? Because a kid from South Carolina who has not been exposed to a lot all of a sudden finds himself in New York and even in Major League Baseball. And it can be mind-blowing. It can be difficult. I know that some of the Caribbean players have told me what it was like for them to go from their culture to America. And I would assume to some degree it probably was like that for a kid that was coming from the South.
You know, it really was. But I remember that first year that I started out in Norfolk, Virginia, didn't do very well, and they sent me to Olean, New York. And I got there, and there was an older guy. He was about 10 years older than I was. He was a wonderful Christian. He kind of took me under his wing, and he mentored me, and he was the one that took me to church on Sunday, but at the same time he talked baseball and kind of helped me along the way. And then as I came to New York, Tony Kubek and I had roomed together at Denver, and he and I roomed together. So I had Tony as a companion, and he was from Milwaukee, a much larger city, and I think he kind of helped me along in those first years in New York as well.
Bobby Richardson is with us on Sports Byline. We're talking about his book called Impact Player, a Memoir. Bobby, of course, 12 seasons with the New York Yankees. We continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's sports talk show, Sports Byline.